talk to you this morning about something that's easy to do as a young person. And that is, you know, how many of you have ever heard this by your parents? Son or daughter, if you're a girl, hopefully they didn't call you son. But they said to you, you don't have your priorities straight. You need to get your priorities right. You ever hear that? Yes, I believe you. You need to have your priorities right. What does that mean to you if an adult or authority or your parents or something tells you that you need to get your priorities right? What's that mean? Come on, somebody give me a little bit of something here. Trevor?
Means you gotta put your things in order of importance, do them, I guess.
That's exactly it. Put things in your life in order of importance. For instance, brushing your teeth. Hopefully that's high on your list of important things to do in life. But now, if I had to choose between some odd reason, I had to choose between brushing my teeth or reading my Bible, gross as it sounds, which one really in my life should be more important? Reading my Bible. Now if we wake up in time, we can do both. But I want to talk to you about that this morning, about really he was a good king, but he had his priorities wrong, and that was Hezekiah. Look at chapter 29 there with me. It says in verse 1, Hezekiah began to reign when he was 5 and 20 years old, and he reigned 9 and 20 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. Now, sounds to me like Hezekiah is a good king. And he is. He did a lot of great things for the nation of Israel in a time and a place when Israel had just came off of two very, very wicked kings. Hezekiah's father was Ammon. He was pretty much a nobody. The people didn't like him. And plus, on top of that, he was an idolatrous man. Not adulterous, but idolatrous. Had idols everywhere. But then his grandfather was Ahab, which was, the guy was, well, according to God's word, he was the most wicked one of them all. He was the worst of the worst of the worst. Until Hezekiah's son comes along. And we'll talk about that too. But Hezekiah was a good king. So he started to reign when he was 25 years old. And he reigned for 29 years. So he had a good long reign. And so let's look at what it says there in verse 3. And he, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. Now, during Ahaz's reign, and then during Ammon's reign, they pretty much said, well, during Ahaz's reign, he polluted the temple. In other words, what he did was, it'd be like if I brought slot machines in here in the church building, okay? And I said, we're not going to have Friday night bingo, we're going to have Sunday morning poker and Sunday morning roulette. We don't have to take an offering anymore, because we're going to have, our coffers are going to be overflowing. You know, and somehow you could sell that to the church, I mean, you know, to where they said, oh, okay, well that sounds like a good idea to me, you know. No more fundraising, just spin that lucky wheel. Now to us that sounds dumb, okay. But literally, that was the point that he took Israel to. I mean, not, they didn't have, you know, roulette wheels, but they had pagan idols inside of God's house, inside the temple. Ahaz put up all these false idols. They had Moloch and Ashtaroth and Baal, which are like the big three worst, ultimate, nasty gods. that was out there around the nation of Israel. Okay, all of the Israelites knew who those three gods were, and actually Solomon started it, but Ahaz really brought it to light, and he actually, wow, okay, do I need to go somewhere else? You want me to wear this? Is that what you're getting at? Okay. Okay, so anyway, it's okay. Okay, but Ahaz, he defiled God's temple. Well, then when Ammon came along, his son, Ammon said, I'm not going to defile God's temple. I'm just going to close the doors. We don't need it. It's worthless. I'll have all my idols out here amongst the city, you know, the city and other places where we go. We don't need to have a temple like this. Now think about it, okay? Let's go back to my thing again. So we have the roulette wheel in here now, okay? So this is Bethel Baptist, and we have gaming night on Saturday night. Friday night is off-track betting, but Sunday morning is the big wheel, you know, and that's when you can really win big. So you come in here, and you're going to lay your $5 bet down, okay? But you walk up here, and this Bible's still here, okay? The pulpit is still here. The offering plates are still here. And they just kind of put the roulette stuff around it, okay? Well, wouldn't that bother you? If you're there to sin, wouldn't that bother you to see the Bible there? If you're there to gamble and do these other things, suddenly this church stuff would bother you. Okay, you see what I'm saying? It would eat at your conscience. So that's what Ammon did. He said, "Now we don't need to be in the house of God." So they literally locked the doors, locked it up. And this went on for years and years. So Hezekiah, what he did was, in the first year of his reign, it says he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. The place was a dump. It was falling down around their ears. So look at verse 4. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together in the east street and said unto them, "Hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. Carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and have forsaken him, and turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord, and turned their backs." Now, I want, he doesn't know I'm going to do this. Andrew, come here, please. And then, where's Susie? Susie, come here, please. Let's see here, get me a clock. Okay, Andrew, I want you to come up here, please. Susie, come right over here, please. Oh, they're going to love this. No jumping. It's going to be better than that. Okay. I want you to run in place. Uh-huh. And I want you to do push-ups for me. Okay. Go ahead. They say, "Why these two people here?" Oh, they're pretty physically fit for the most part. You know, I didn't want Prani to come up here. He might blow a blood vessel or something. Yeah, your biceps, you do one, flex and slap you in the face and then knock you out. Just keep going. Come on, put some life into it, man. Okay, that's good. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, you can stop. Now come over here. See, they're not winded. They're barely winded at all. She ran there for 30 seconds. He did push-ups for 30 seconds. Okay, you can have a seat. They're barely winded at all. And you say, "What does that have to do with anything?" If I did that, I'd get back up here preaching going, Why are they not winded? Well, a couple reasons. Number one, they're young. Two, they're both pretty physically fit. Why is that? They love the outdoors, love sports. That's a priority in their life. They pay attention to that. Physical fitness is kind of a priority in their life. Now, I want to show you this. This verse here, look at verse 5. We're not going to be a long time. And said unto them, hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves, and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. Now, we spoke about God's house for a minute, but really, is this really where God dwells? No. Where does God dwell today? Right here. Right here. Now, I want to show you something. Turn to 1 Corinthians. You can hold your place there or not. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 19, we all know these verses, but I want to read them to you again. Look at verse 19. Look at what Paul says. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Hezekiah told these priests, these Levite priests, the Levites were kind of like me. I am a man on church staff here, but I'm not the pastor of the church. I'm not the associate pastor of the church. But if somebody says, hey, is there anybody around here that would be a representative of the church? They could say, yeah, Brother Mark's there. Okay? The Levites were kind of like that. Okay? There's the high priest. There's one high priest for the nation of Israel at any one given time. Then there were priests. Okay? They did like the sacrificing. Okay? The high priest didn't do a whole lot of that except for the one time. He did one a year, okay? He was the only guy allowed into the Holy of Holies where you could see the Ark of the Covenant. Only one man out of the whole nation of Israel looked upon that unless they were carrying it. But during the tabernacle days when the Holy of Holies was set up, only one man got to look at that one time a year. And if he had sin in his life, God would strike him dead right there. How would you like to live in those days? And they had a big long robe and it had little bells on the bottom of it. And what they would do is they would let that high priest walk into the Holy of Holies and they had a rope on his foot. And if they heard his body drop to the ground, they knew that God killed him and they would haul him back out. That's what you call pressure now. That's what you call, wow, I better be right with God before I go in to actually see God. And we don't live in those days, thank God. But what days we do live in are this. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? You understand what that means, young person? That means that when you said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and forgive me of my sin and be my Savior so I can go to heaven when I die. What that means is Jesus Christ said, all right, I take that offering. Now you're my property because I've already paid for you with my own blood. You're not your own property anymore. When you decided in your heart to accept Christ as your Savior, you said, Lord, I give you my life. And he said, okay, thank you, it's mine now. I take it. You're no longer your own property. That's what it says. You're bought with a price. So if we're bought with a price and this is God's dwelling place, how filthy is it or how clean is it? This is something that we need to think on often. Fellas, when's the last time you viewed something filthy on the internet? Oh, we're in a Christian school. We don't do that. You surf enough and stuff's going to come up whether you like it or not if you surf too much. You need to be careful with that garbage because it's out there and it'll get you. When's the last time somebody sent you something dirty over the text? I've got a relative that he doesn't seem to remember the fact that I'm a Baptist preacher, and he doesn't mind sending me garbage all the time. So I have to block his stuff. Every time I see his stuff come through, I just delete it before I even look at it anymore, which is sad. But what I'm saying is, are you protecting this temple of the Holy Ghost? Are you protecting what you hear? When's the last time one of your schoolmates here said something off color to you? Kind of, oh, ha, 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 ha. Yeah, that was dirty, but it was funny. Ha, 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 ha. No, that's not what the Lord would have for you. Those off-color comments and all that. Stay away from the filthiness of the world. Carry the filthiness out of the holy place. You say, well, Brother Thompson, we're not like that. We're perfect angels and cherubs, and we never do anything like that. I was a teenager just like you one time. I know it was probably seems to you like that was 150,000 years ago, but it really was like that. I really was a teenager once upon a time. And the devil wants you so bad, he can taste it. Because if he can trash your life right now while you're in Christian school, you'll never do anything else for the Lord. If he can get you while you're young to be interested in the lust of the flesh and the desires of this world, then he's got you for the rest of your life. Do you see that? Carry the filthiness out of the holy place. This is the holy place. That's the holy place right where you're at, where you live. See, nobody else knows about that stuff except for you and God. You know what? You can fool mommy and daddy. You can fool preacher and teacher, but you can't fool God. The Holy Spirit sees what you see. The Holy Spirit hears what you hear. You know, the Bible says in 2 Peter that Lot was a righteous man, and Lot was just. Now, I don't know about you, but after you read about Lot, that's pretty hard to believe that, because he calls all those queers brethren. A whole city full of sodomites and homosexuals, and he says, hey, brethren, not me, pal. But he did. And yet, and he lived amongst all that wickedness. Are you telling me he didn't see sodomy right in the streets? A place that's openly wicked, they probably just did all their garbage right out in front of God and everybody because they no longer cared. And he just sat around, oh boy, that's terrible. No. What I'm saying to you is this. Young person, don't let the evil influences of this world affect you. Because it's out there. It's out there, and it's pounding away at you every single day. Some days you turn on the television, and you can attest to what I'm talking about. It's like, oh, 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 oh! Maybe we should just take that remote and break it in half and throw the TV away too. That's where we're at in this world. Carry the filthiness out of the holy place. You say, I want to serve the Lord. I want to do something great for God. You know what? I do too. But God can't use a dirty vessel. It's like if I give you a brand new clean glass off of the shelf at Walmart and I wash it out with soapy water and then I rinse it and I drip dry. You know, I stand there and hold it for 3 hours and then drip it dry and hand it to you. Or I say, Well, I got this glass in the back of my trunk here. It's been in here for about 3 years. Got a little bit of dirt in it. Would you like to take a drink out of that? Everybody'd say, nasty, man, I don't want that thing. Go clean it up first. Go get all the junk out of it, and then maybe I can use it. You see what I'm saying? God says the same thing. Lord, I want you to do this in my life, and I want you to do that in my life, and I want to be something for you. Okay? Then get the dirty filthiness out of your life, and then I can use you. That's what the Lord is asking you to do. And I'm right here. I live in this world that you live in. The devil is pounding away at your life, your conscience, your eye gate, your ear gate every single day. So what do? We resist. That's what we do. You tell the devil no. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. You say, oh, that was funny. Ha, 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 ha. No. The next time somebody says something that's off color, that's wrong, you need to have the guts, the Christian character in a Christian school to turn around and say, hey, man, why don't you shut your foul mouth before I shut it for you? You guys like to be tough anyway, right? So use it for righteousness. Use it for righteousness instead of, oh, yeah, that was cool. I'm funny. No, you're filthy. Don't be wicked. Carry the filthiness out of God's house. This is God's house. You say, Mr. Thompson, you're calling us terrible things. No, I just know what it's like to be a teenager. If the devil can get you right now, he's got you. And right now is when you're going to be pounded away at the hardest. These years, 8th through 12th grade, that's when he hammers you the worst. I know. And you're still developing judgment or lack of judgment. A youth pastor can come in here and pump you guys up and say, let's all go skydiving tomorrow. Never had a lesson, but that's okay. And teenagers are the kind of people who say, you know, that sounds like a good idea. Sounds like a lot of fun. The wind rushing through my face, my hair's flying around, the sun. And they say, hey, that sounds good. Let's go do it. And then after they're plummeting to the earth at 300 miles per hour with the earth looming in their face, they suddenly think to themselves, man, maybe it wasn't such a good idea. Okay? That's part of being a teenager. So if the devil can do the same thing and say, hey, come here, I got something interesting for you. It's really cool. You see what I'm saying? The devil does the same thing. Resist the flesh. Carry the filthiness out of the holy place. Carry the filthiness out of the holy place. Now look at that verse 20 there in 1 Corinthians 6 and we'll be done. You say, Brother Thompson, I don't do any of that kind of stuff. I barely even watch television. Okay, I got something for you too, Jack. Verse 20, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, in other words, therefore means since this part is true, which means you are bought with a price, that's true. So since that is true, therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's property. So you say, I don't watch any trash or filth on the internet. I don't listen to any of those dirty jokes. I don't do any of that other garbage, okay? So then you're glorifying God in your body, okay? That's glorifying God in your body. If you stay away from all that junk and you're using your body to tell people about Jesus, then you're glorifying God in your body. But how about your spirit? Are you glorifying God in your spirit? You say, how do I do that? How's your attitude? Oh, not another test. I know about tests. I know it's, you know, at some point they become ridiculous, okay? But, oh, I'm sick of this and I'm sick of that and I hate this and I hate that. That's not glorifying God in your spirit. Or, you know, did you hear what she said about me? I hate her. Did you see the way she wore her hair? I hate her.
sick of this. That's not glorifying God in your spirit. Or guys, oh yeah, he's just a stinking punk. Okay, that's not glorifying God in your spirit. That's glorifying the devil in your spirit. Or, you know, I can't stand this teacher and I can't stand that teacher. Or maybe you don't share those feelings with other people, but it's in your heart. That's not glorifying God in your spirit. There's kids, I don't know about in this classroom, but I know in my own classroom I have kids that the whole attitude is, huh, make me. I dare you to make me learn something today. Okay? That's a spirit of rebellion. Are you glorifying God in your body? And then if you are you glorifying God in your spirit? Ask yourself those two questions. Am I glorifying God in my body? That's the easy one to see. Internet, bad friends, bad text messaging. You know, especially since they got those pictures on there and stuff, people can send you any kind of garbage they want to. Stay away from that junk, man. I'm not saying stay away from texting. I just sent my son a text 1 hour ago. But I'm saying make sure it's cleaned up. Make sure you stay away from the filth of this world because it's out there and the devil wants to use it against you. And the whole time you're going, oh, yeah, that was funny. Oh, that was cool. Ooh, oh, that's really bad. Oh, oh, oh. And sucking you into that whole way of living and thinking. And then when you're about 25 and you're married to some deadbeat bum, or guys, you're married to some harlot, and then you look at your life and say, man, I really thought I was going to do something for the Lord. Do you see how it works? Glorify God in your body. Carry the filthiness out of the holy place. Sanctify yourselves. I didn't even read you the end of that story. Let's see here if he's got the timeline. It says here, it took them, we won't read it, but in verse 17, it took them 8 days to clean up the temple. It didn't just happen by one thing of, oh, well, let's go in here and hit this with a sandblaster and be done. And the same thing is in our lives, okay? God doesn't expect you say, well, Brother Thompson, I got to be honest with you, I got all this stuff in my life. Then take it one day at a time, one problem at a time. One situation at a time. Look at your life and say, man, I really shouldn't be doing this. Okay. Then face it. Go to God and say, Lord, I don't want to do this anymore. Today is my day. I'm stopping this trash today. Today is my day. Now, you're going to look at your own heart and the devil is going to convict you or accuse you and say, well, you got all this other stuff. Don't worry about all the other stuff. Worry about one thing and say, Lord, today, that's it. No more. And then once you get that cleaned out of your life, then look at the next thing. And let the Lord help you do it. Maybe it's your gossiping tongue. Maybe you like to lie and impress people. Remember Timmy. We had little Timmy at another Christian school. The kid would tell you such outrageous, bodacious lies that they couldn't even possibly be in the realm of reality. He had a little Hot Wheels car that he brought to school and told about how his dad paid an extra $50 on this little Hot Wheels car to put nitrous on it. And the kid was like 10 years old. It wasn't like he was 3. And he'd tell stupid stuff like that all the time. It's like, Timmy, and I used to tell him right to his face, Timmy, you're a liar. You see, people don't want to, no, he's a liar. He needs to quit lying. And maybe that's your problem. Maybe you like to lie all the time. Maybe you like to gossip all the time. Maybe you like the dirty jokes. Maybe you like the filthy text. Maybe you like to surf the internet. There's so much garbage out there anymore, you can't even shake a stick at all of it. Clean the filthiness out of your life, young person. Maybe you like to talk about people. I like to get things stirred up. You know what? You're an idiot. I like to get things all stirred up. You know what? You're being a jerk. People don't need things stirred up. There's enough of the devil stirring things up. Don't you be a drama queen or drama king on top of it. We don't need that. Don't be backbiting and telling rumors and lying and gossiping about people. Let the world take care of all that filth. Let's just love the Lord here. Let's carry the filthiness out of the holy place. You're the holy place. You're the one. The Lord has brought you into this place to do something special with you. Will you let him do it? Will you let him? You can, but you have to decide in your own heart. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Let's pray. Lord, we love you today. I thank you, Father, for each teenager. Lord, I love these kids. I pray, God, you'd use every single one of them for something special for you. Lord, you didn't bring them here by mistake. They didn't end up here because they're losers or because they can't do great things for you. They ended up here, Lord, because you brought them here. Oh God, help each one of us, adults, kids, teenagers, everybody, Lord, to carry the filthiness out of the holy place and to have our priorities right in our life. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I'd just like to ask you, I haven't talked to you for a little while, maybe there's somebody here that would say, Brother Thompson, I know I'm saved, here's my hand, I remember the time I got saved. And I don't question that. I don't doubt it. Here's my hand as a testimony. I know I'm saved. Thank you. Thank you. Put those hands down, please. And maybe you'd say, though, Brother Thompson, I got to be honest with you. I've really had a bunch of doubts lately about my Christianity, my salvation. I'm not really sure I'm saved. Would you pray for me? Anybody like that? I'm just really not sure I'm saved. Just lift your hand up where I can see it and take it back down. And I'll pray for you. Anybody like that? Just slip your hand up and take it back down where I can see it. Anybody like that? Then maybe you're here and you'd say, Brother Thompson, I got to be honest with you. Some of the stuff you were talking about hit home with me, but I don't want that junk to be in my life. Would you pray for me? Anybody like that? Just slip your hand up. Yes, God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. I see that. Thank you. Anybody else? Some of the things you talked about hit home with me. And I don't want that stuff in my life. I don't want that in my heart. Yes, God bless you. I see that hand. Yes, God bless you. Yes, I see that. Yes, thank you. God bless you. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. God bless you. Anybody else? Yes, God bless you. Thank you. While your heads are... Yes, sir. Thank you. While your heads are still bowed, there's an altar right here. Let's do some business with God this morning. Why don't you come forward and just do business with God right here at this altar? Nobody's looking. Everybody's got their head bowed. Why don't you be man or woman enough just to come up and say, Lord, I don't want this junk. I don't need it. That's right. Just come on.